Welcome to The Point. I'm Mindy Todd. Turn on the radio or go into any store this month and you're likely to be greeted with holiday music. And if you're growing tired of I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus or Jingle Bell Rock, but still want to get into the holiday spirit, you are in luck. Later in the hour, Matthew Sintow from the Cape Cod Chamber Orchestra joins us to discuss the inspirations for the orchestra's mostly English holiday performance. But first, we're pleased to welcome back Artistic Director and Conductor of Cape Symphony, Jung Ho Park. Hi.
Hello.
Good to see you. All right, so music, of course, associated with the Christmas holiday, maybe more than any other holiday I can think of. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts as to why that is? Just the kind of spirit of the season?
I think it has to do with our youth. Songs that we sing growing up in school and around the piano with the family, it gets into our DNA. Mm. And I think that's why Christmas means singing and songs. And it just takes us back. It's like when we smell something, we're just transported to a certain time. I think Christmas songs do the exact same thing.
Yeah. Every year, Cape Symphony offers a holiday performance that includes many of our favorite pieces. But each year, there's a different theme and a few surprises that are thrown in. And we won't ask you to reveal the surprises, but tell us more about this year's theme.
There are two themes, but they're related. The first one is paying homage to the great Bob Hope. And I remember seeing the television broadcasts when you go overseas to the troops and entertain them and bring people like Raquel Welch or Joey Heatherton and get all the young men would get excited. And at the time, I didn't understand not only was it entertainment, but it was bringing home to the troops in some of the most, as we know, really tough situations in Vietnam. And now in hindsight, We always took Bob Hope for granted. He was kind of like the Rock of Gibraltar. Someone just always would be there. But what he did was extraordinarily generous, going in harm's way even when he got older and taking these people to the troops. I felt like he was an American hero of entertainment, and he ultimately was seen that way. I think it's time to remember him. I think it's time to bring back those people who made entertainment more than just entertainment, but actually were patriots.
Yeah. So let's set the stage a little bit here. Help people remember. We pulled just a few minutes of Bob Hope's 1985 Christmas show.
It's the Bob Hope Christmas Show, starring the Associated Press All-America football team, Barbara Eden, Emmanuel Lewis. From the Chicago Bears, William the Refrigerator Perry. The 1986 Tournament of Roses Queen in Court. And special guest star, Brooke Shields. Brought to you in part by Texaco, makers of high-octane super unleaded gasoline and new formula Havoline Motor Oil. Trust your car to the products with the star. And now here's the star of our show, Bob Hope.
Thank you very much. Well, here I am, NBC's Christmas present to you all. Batteries not included. Now, Christmas is a worldwide affair. We celebrate a birth in Bethlehem by writing letters to the North Pole to get presents made in Japan. And once again, Washington won't have any snow for Christmas. Congress is adjourned. And have you seen the Christmas display at the White House lawn? Justice Sandra Day O'Connor was in charge of the decorations, and it's the first time I've ever seen a nativity scene with three wise women. And Reagan told his aides to put up a big star on top of the Christmas tree, but they said Bruce Springsteen wouldn't stay up there. And you know, our president got a nice Christmas present the other day. Did you hear Random House will pay $3 million for the President Reagan's memoirs? $1 million in cash and $2 million in jelly beans. $3 million, that should take care of him in his old age, if he ever decides to have one. They told Reagan that Jimmy Carter got only $1 million for his memoirs. Reagan says, well, that's his problem if he wants to work for peanuts. I love that title, Memoirs. I've never had a memoir. I can't remember things in French. You know that Halley's Comet's coming around again? It'll be exciting to see the comet. Of course, in L.A., we get excited when we can see the tops of the trees. Yeah, it comes by every 76 years. It keeps the same schedule as my fan club. Imagine that every 76 years. Well, if my tail was on fire, I'd show up more often than that, I'll tell you. Just think, the next time we see Halley's Comet, we'll have had 19 more presidential elections, 38 congressional elections, and 47 Rocky movies. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much.
So it was the late 70s and 80s that Bob Hope was making these TV Christmas specials. But as you remember, many people remember him for the Christmas shows that he did for the U.S. troops serving overseas, which he did for decades. So how will the Cape Symphony performance pay tribute to the U.S. troops serving overseas this Christmas?
Well, in two ways. One is that at the end of the first act, we're going to pay a specific tribute to Bob Hope, but we're also going to bring the Andrews sisters and Bing Crosby and also recall his radio era, because that was also very important. You know, the war bonds and all these things, all these Hollywood stars took part. In the second act, we're working with some local organizations to say and to remember the people from Cape Cod who are serving all across the entire world and get some video. This is part of the surprise, but I'll tell you right now. Get some video shout-outs. Just you and me. Shout-outs and just sort of make everyone really feel good and feel connected to all those people. We think of Cape Cod as being this great vacation spot, but there are real people who grew up here and serve in the military and people who come to Cape Cod. We have a military base here and families who are stationed here too. And so this is our way of just bringing the community closer together for that kind of appreciation.
Cape Symphony performances often include guest vocalists, and this year you've asked John Stevens to come and perform. Tell us a little bit more about John and what he'll be doing.
John was famous because he was the crooner on American Idol in the very, very early years. He's got a beautiful voice, and I asked him, I said, would you mind come and be our Bing Crosby? Because we have a Bob Hope actor who, for me, is a dead ringer for Bob Hope. I know you interviewed him, and I think you would...
No, I know, but I'm just thinking, you have somebody come in and be Bing Crosby. Those are big shoes to fill.
Very big shoes. Luckily, John's tall. Yeah. So he loves being Bing Crosby. He's done it before of just doing this as blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, you know.
And so I've got this Bob Hope on stage, and I'll have a Bing Crosby. I've got the Andrews sisters. So it's going to be this beautiful recreation. And then I'm going to put all four... I got three other wonderful women singers on the program coming to sing Oh Holy Night, Oh Holy Night. And also, as another special treat, in the middle of the second act, we're going to tell the story of that moment during World War I where there was a truce on Christmas Eve singing Silent Night. You probably know the story.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
We're commissioning a composer to help us tell that story through music.
Wow. So let's remember a little bit about Bing Crosby. Here's Bing Crosby performing White Christmas.
Yes.
Of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where the treetops glisten and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, with every Christmas card I write, may your day be merry and brown, and may all your Christmases be white.
Do you ever get tired of listening to Bing sing that? No.
No.
I play it every year. I never get tired of it. And I also never get tired of it. I love the Andrews Sisters. And their renditions of holiday songs are maybe not quite as well known as Bing Crosby, but they are so much fun.
Fun and funny as well. And they actually recorded a lot of Christmas tunes with Bing.
Yes, right. Yeah. So who have you invited to perform some of the Andrews Sisters' Christmas songs?
I've got three wonderful singers, Jessica Curran, Jen Dashnaw, and Anna McEntee, who are three local favorites who are such reliable professionals. And they've got each individual gorgeous voices. But they come together and they're going to represent, I can't remember the name of the three. Right. Is it Maxine was one of them?
Oh, I can't remember either. But yeah. So, no, it's for people who aren't familiar, tell us a little bit about the Andrews Sisters, who they were.
Well, you know, I think they came from the kind of vaudeville era of singers. They were there's something very unique about three sisters, because they really were sisters, is that they blend harmony so well. And I think they were really known for their just real tight ensemble and tight harmony. And then they made a couple movies too, and they were great on film.
Yeah. All right, let's take a listen.
Jingling, what fun to hear the sleigh bells jingle. Jing, jingling, 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 they set your heart a tingle. Jing, jingling, 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 I love to hear our laughter mingle. Ha ha, go ho, gliding through the snow. Jing, jingling, 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 the bells have got the snowflakes dancing. Jing, jingling, 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 old Dobbins even prancing. Jing, jingling, 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 the night is made for sweet romancing. Ha ha, go ho, through the snow we go. Through a winter fairyland we go a-gliding, in a cotton candy land of frozen charms. And the way the sleigh is slipping and a-sliding brings you sliding even closer in my arms. Can't you hear the sleigh bells asking why we're single, as we fly across the snowy hills and dales? And we're happy 'cause the sleigh bells seem to jingle in the winter fairyland like wedding bells. Jing, jingling, 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 what fun to hear the sleigh bells jingle. Jing, jingling, 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 they set your heart a-tingle. Jing, jingling, 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 I love to hear our laughter mingle. Ha ha, ho ho, gliding through the snow. Jing, jingling, 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 the bells have got the snowflakes dancing. Jing, jingling, 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 old Dobbins even prancing. Jing, jingling, 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 the night is made for sweet romancing. Ha ha, ho ho, through the snow we go. Fairyland we go a-gliding, in a cotton candy land of frozen charms. And the way the sleigh is slipping and a-sliding brings you sliding even closer in my arms. Can't you hear the sleigh bells asking why we're single, as we fly across the snowy hills and dells? And we're happy 'cause the sleigh bells seem to jingle in the winter fairyland like wedding bells. Jing, jingling, 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 the bells have got the snowflakes dancing. Jing, jingling, 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 old Dobbins even prancing. Jing, jingling, 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 the night is made for sweet romancing. Ha! Ho! Through the snow we go. Jing, jingling, 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 jingling.
So in addition to all the vocalists, Cave Symphony is, as you mentioned, going to be performing orchestral versions of holiday music. So how do you decide what to include each year?
Oh my gosh, it's like walking to IKEA and say, how am I going to furnish this room? I've got so much furniture, so many different pieces to choose. And I do try to recycle them. I try to keep it very, very fresh, like this year. I mean, this whole theme and Bob Hope and the troops. But I there are certain things I have to do every year. Like, I'm going to do O Holy Night, mm-hmm. likely, to finish the program, and We Wish You a Merry Christmas and things like that. But the canon of popular, like, not sacred not like Silent Night or Hark the Herald. The canon of Christmas popular tunes is humongous. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think you could put together 10 albums and not repeat yourself.
Yeah, for sure. All right, so we're going to go out on a compilation of holiday favorites. Cape Symphony's Holiday on the Cape performances are December 6th, 7th, and 8th. We'll post a link with more information mm-hmm. at our website, capeandislands.org. Jung Ho Park, conductor and artistic director of the Cape Symphony, thanks for coming in and happy holidays.
Happy holidays, Mindy.
Coming up after break, we discuss Cape Cod Chamber Orchestra's A Mostly English Holiday. Listening to The Point, and we're talking holiday music this hour. Joining us now is the founder and conductor of Cape Cod Chamber Orchestra, Matthew Cinto. Welcome back. Good to see you.
Thanks for having me.
So last we had you on the program was the start of the Chamber Orchestra's first season. What's been the community response to the chamber
music? Oh, it's been really overwhelming. I mean, it's funny. I was thinking back. Last time we heard was April in 2018, before our first program. And since then, we've probably done about a dozen programs in various capacities. Mm-hmm. We started our second season in October, and we did a pirate-themed concert. It was kind of an overview of Sam Bellamy's life. Mm-hmm. And we worked with the WIDA Pirate Museum and had Chris McCord, who's one of the divers and archaeologists there, be part of our program. And we commissioned this brand-new piece based on Sam Bellamy's life. Hmm. And all of his trials and love interest and adventure along the way.
So the orchestra is not just playing familiar works now. You're actually commissioning new works and making connections between music and the fabric of life on the Cape. So talk about this vision you have then for the orchestra.
The question that I've always had to ask myself, and I think a lot of musicians now, you know, at my age, now I'm 29 years old, how do we really make an impact on an art form that is slowly, unfortunately, slowly dwindling in certain areas of the country. And my way of doing that's been contemporary music, believe it or not. Usually, orchestras shy away from playing new music. It unfortunately has some connotation that it's hard to understand or get into. But I found a way that if we do commissioning projects with local individuals and organizations, it's a great way to bring in this Cape flavor, history, and highlight all the amazing things that have been happening for hundreds of years on Cape Cod. It's been a great response, actually. I think most people come to our concert not for Haydn or Beethoven, but for this new piece, because that's familiar to most people. A really famous classical composer in all cases. So,
now the Cape Cod Chamber Orchestra Holiday Concert is part of a benefit for Alzheimer's Family Support of Cape Cod. And Matt, instead of asking you why you chose this organization, I'm going to welcome Kara Cinto, who is to the program. In addition to being the memory care director at Maplewood Senior Living in Brewster, she's your wife. And I suspect, Kara, that you were behind this choice, right?
Yes. Yes, I was.
Welcome. So, Kara, music has a unique way of reaching people with Alzheimer's and dementia. What's been your experience when people with dementia are exposed to music?
Music is amazing. It's really powerful to see somebody with dementia who may not be able to speak, may not be able to walk, but if you play a song from their childhood or when they were a teenager, the person will start to tap their toes or clap their hands, start singing, maybe even dancing. It's really wonderful to see.
It's like magic, isn't it?
It is.
So how does music therapy differ from just listening to or enjoying music? And how do you incorporate music into the life for people with memory issues?
People that have Alzheimer's and other related dementias usually retain their long-term memories. So we try to go back to their younger years and find music that was popular during that time period and play that music.
Are you a musician yourself?
I do play the violin and the piano. I played at the University of Connecticut in the symphony, but right now I take more of a backstage approach with the Cape Cod Chamber Orchestra. And since I'm working full-time with memory care, I do use my musical skills there, and I love music, love having it part of my life.
Alzheimer's Family Support of Cape Cod does some really important work, as we know. We've talked a lot many times on this program. How have you seen them benefit your clients and their families?
The Alzheimer's Family Support Center of Cape Cod offers free support groups all across Cape Cod, which is a great way for families and friends of loved ones who are suffering from dementia to get the help and support that they need. This disease is a terminal illness, and it can be very difficult to watch somebody go through this long goodbye. So having a network and a support team like the Alzheimer's Family Support Center can really help provide that support.
All right, Matthew, for this upcoming holiday performance, you're taking the audience across the pond to
That's
England.
Right.
So tell us more about the inspiration for the works in your holiday program.
So we've called it a mostly English holiday, and really it features three English composers and then music of Vivaldi, because I love this composer and Baroque music, and I want to play it for everyone.
Who doesn't like
Of course,
music?
Of course. But the three composers that I've chosen, one being Edward Elgar, the second being Ralph Vaughan Williams, and Grace Williams, who is a Welsh composer who most people really don't know. She wrote this very famous piece, this 1944 Sea Sketches, which fits our Towards the Sea theme for our second season. She was actually a student of Vaughan Williams. She studied with him when she was in her 20s at the Royal College of Music in London. And although they're all English composers, I've picked these three because they're very different. They have a very different approach to writing music, even though their lives intersect in many different ways. Vaughan Williams, a great lover of folk songs, sacred music, and he incorporates a lot of these elements into his compositions, especially this fantasy on a theme by Thomas Tallis, who is a Renaissance composer, a composer writing music some 400 years before Vaughan Williams that he really idolized. And he chooses a melody, a seemingly random melody that he that Vaughan Williams liked, and he writes this fantasy for double string orchestra, which means that there's two string groups, and they're it's composed in a way that gives it this really rich organ type of sound, by using the low lows of the mm-hmm. the double bass and the high highs of the violin and everything in between. It creates this wall and richness and depth.
Well,
we happen to
have a clip of that. We have a clip of Ralph Vaughan Williams' Fantasy on a theme, so let's take a listen.
Thank you.
In addition to conducting, you play the viola. Do you find yourself drawn to works that showcase the string instruments?
Well, it would seem that way. I think I have a certain affinity towards the music that you grew up playing. Yeah. The String Serenade by Edward Elgar is one of those pieces that, you know, we played, probably both Kara and I played in high school.
Yeah.
And it's just that I speak the language.
Yeah.
I think it makes it a little easier from a conductor's aspect when you really know the instrument.
You know
physically what it feels like to play the violin or the viola or the cello. I mean, mm-hmm. it helps, and it also there's also just so much wonderful music, especially English music for strings. For whatever reason, a lot of English composers in the 20th century wrote lots of pieces for this arrangement of instruments.
We're talking with founder and conductor of the Cape Cod Chamber Orchestra, Matthew Cinto. Also with us is Kara Cinto, memory care director at Maplewood Senior Living in Brewster. We'll talk more after a quick break.
Glenway Fripp of Falmouth.
Okay, there's three aspects to piano tuning. The temperament is how even, getting it even between each note as you go up from note to note. The next aspect of the piano is getting the octaves good, which is going up like that in octaves. And then the other aspect is the unison, which is getting all the notes on any particular note. There's usually three strings for each note, and it's getting those three strings to play together. And that's what, for instance, here's a bad unison, and if you concentrate, you can hear it getting better. Sometime. That's close. Of those three aspects, the thing that's most important is good unisons. That's what people are most likely to hear. The second thing they're most likely to hear is good octaves. And then beyond that, temperament, it's very hard for people to hear that, but piano tuners are painfully aware of how equal their temperament is.
You're listening to the Cape and Islands NPR stations, a service of WGBH Radio.
You're listening to The Point, and we're talking holiday music this hour. With us is founder and conductor of the Cape Cod Chamber Orchestra, Matthew Cinto. Also with us is Kara Cinto, the memory care director at Maplewood Senior Living in Brewster. The December Cape Cod Chamber Orchestra concert is part of a benefit for the Alzheimer's Family Support Center of Cape Cod. When we spoke last time, you mentioned you like to feature younger composers. And so how is this generation of musicians creating, arranging, and playing chamber music differently from previous generations?
I think now when a composer kind of sits down and determines that they want to write a piece, a very daunting task, it's different in that we have so much to draw on, not only from classical music in the past 300 years. I mean, you think from when Beethoven was writing, he didn't know the music of Vaughan Williams or Elgar. It wasn't at his time. We have so much, we have many more tools now, if you're a composer, to compose with. Also, a lot of composers now look to popular culture and look to trends in events in society or other aspects. A lot of composers draw these aspects into their work. But still, the process, even if you're Thomas Tallis writing music 400 years ago, is the same. You have some sort of inspiration, and then you attempt to write this down. It seems like an impossible task almost, to have an inspiration in your mind, to have a feeling of emotion, and put it into dots and ink on a piece of paper. And then even harder is, as a musician, doing the opposite, seeing this writing, hearing it, and then trying to return to the spirit of the composer. What did they have in mind? What was their intention when they were writing this music? So it still remains the same. It still is just as difficult a task to reach inside your mind and pull out what would seemingly be there for musicians to interpret. That remains the same, and that's what's really so special about the whole process.
What else do you have on tap for your second season and your composer in residence program?
Yes, we have in April, we are doing a commemorative piece for the 400th anniversary of the Mayflower Voyage, being that it's 2020 is 400 years since 1620. And I wanted to commission a piece that didn't really tell the European story so much, but really how it impacted the native Wampanoag people that were here at that time. Because as we know, it definitely had a substantial impact on the course of their lives. And I wanted to tell the story through music in a way that probably hasn't really been done before. And
that's quite a task.
It is. And it formulates itself in odd ways, just like the Sam Bellamy piece. How do I tell a narrative of someone's life? How do I evoke the mood? I think that's really what it is. Mm. It's the same way in this Grace Williams piece we're doing. She's evoking different moods of the sea. It's not a specific portrayal per se. It maybe there's a movement. The first movement's titled High Wind. Okay, so you have an idea already, a concept of what that may be like, but you're still listening to sounds and you're mm-hmm. trying to maybe have a vision of what that was like. That's what we do through contemporary music. Yeah. I try to bring in a narrative or a story that is historically significant to Cape Cod and try to translate it through classical music.
You mentioned that you like to engage younger audiences and introduce them to live chamber music. Are there particular concerts you think will appeal to a younger audience? Do you think that storytelling is part of that?
I really think the hardest thing is having a parent bring their kid into the room, because most of the time, parents and myself often think that classical music is a very intimidating experience, as if you need to know all this prior knowledge to be able to understand it. But I think having a kid, bringing a child or your family to a concert and watching professional musicians communicate and work, it's not just an oral experience, it's also visual. You're mm-hmm. watching someone play the cello or the violin at a very high level, and I think even children can have an appreciation, understanding for that. And that's why I've made all of our concerts free for children and students throughout the whole season. I don't want it to be $200 to bring a family of four to a concert.
And
I think
it's never know who you're inspiring there, right?
You don't know the lives that you can change. Because I've had that experience. Why did I become a musician? Because my parents exposed me to those experiences from a very young age, and you latch onto it. Mm. That's why I do what we do, because it's selfish in a way, but I've gained so much personally and spiritually for my own life from being involved in music. Anyone can have that happen to them as well, if they're given the opportunity to have that type of experience.
But getting back to the holiday concert, you mentioned Grace Williams' Sea Sketches. Anything else you want to say about it before we hear it?
I would say if you're familiar with the music of Benjamin Britten, who's another famous English composer at this time, you'll hear a lot of his music in this piece. It's really quite fascinating.
Thank you.
quite beautiful and even more powerful when the music is being performed live. So, Kara, have you noticed a difference in how music with in people with dementia, how they respond to music when it's performed live versus recorded music?
Yes, absolutely. And Matt has come in on multiple occasions to play for the residents at Maplewood Brewster. And it's amazing to see how the people light up when he starts playing Fly Me to the Moon by Tony Bennett, and everybody jumps in singing. It's really, really cool. Mm.
Cape Chamber Orchestra's A Mostly English Holiday will be performed Sunday, December 15th at the Pilgrim Congregational Church in Harwichport. The concert is part of the benefit for Alzheimer's Family Support Center of Cape Cod. We'll post a link with more information at our website, capeandislands.org. Matthew Cinto, founder and conductor of Cape Cod Chamber Orchestra, and Kara Cinto, memory care director at Maplewood Senior Living in Brewster. Thank you for coming in, and best wishes for a new year.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
And we're going to go out with more of Grace Williams' Sea Sketches. I'm Indy Todd. Thanks for listening.